Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Hey, everybody. Kellen Patterson of the O'Kellen Clan.
O'Kellen.
And this program is sponsored by Play for Play Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete, and I know you are, and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, and a vehicle to draw your goals. Like what? That's right.
like a Mack truck through ice cream. I don't even know what that was.
Going downhill in a snowstorm. Check us out at playmuscle.com. And now let's talk, that's right.
Let us talk, O'Kellen, of the O'Kellen O'Patterson clan. How are you doing, Kaylin? It's yet another Thursday, and here we are.
Yeah, and it's a great day. Yeah. Great day because, hey, we got a great Thursday. We have a great guest. And, you know, I guess if you're listening, you get sick of us saying that. But, hey, it's true. So I'll –
It is true.
You know,
But wait. 1 minute.
I don't know why.
1 minute. Hey, no.
It is.
It is, but before we get to this great guest, before we get that far, we have news.
Yes, ma'am.
We have some exciting news that we need to share. So for all of our folks that were with us, I'm going to try into it here. We had Mark South from Down Under on the program with us on Tuesday, and he is the husband of Tinica. Oh, last name, Hindeman. Do I have that right? Hindeman. There we go. Okay. I didn't have her name in front of me. Sorry, folks. Sorry, Tinica, if you're listening, I'm going to get it right. But he was on. Fabulous guy. So supportive of his family and natural bodybuilding. Also a wealth of information. And, Kaylin, are you doing dishes? Is that what's going on?
That is not. I think it's
so
Brittany.
Anyway, so Mark, through his business, has been so gracious to donate a full genetic analysis to one of our listeners. Are you guys so excited? I'm so excited because I want one of these for myself. But Kaylin and I are not going to take it. We're not going to fight over it. We're going to leave it available for you guys. And so, in Mark's words, he says, the analysis isn't scary. It's not a blood sample or anything. The analysis is based on bodyguard measurements, heritage questions, current health conditions, and a few other factors that he will collect from you. So the winner will receive a full report, including foods to eat and why you should eat them, social and environmental strengths, and some other information that will help you with your health choices. And he may even upgrade this to a life membership and will personally assist in both the analysis and post explanations so that whoever the winner is can maximize the information to its full extent. So here's how you guys can win. I know.
Wow.
Isn't that exciting? I mean, who wouldn't want that
donut.
Kind of information? No. Well, if you ate the jelly donut. I don't think jelly donut would be on that list. As much as I tease you about donuts. Yeah, well,
I
don't know.
Jelly donut.
So, anyway, guys, I'm getting railroaded here. I'm distracted by the jelly donut. But here's how you win. There's one of two ways you can win. So, if you go out on the internet and search for P4P Real Talk, and it will bring you to our Blog Talk Radio homepage, there's a follow button there. You click on that, fill out the little form, and just ask for your name and email address, so then you'll get updates on who's going to be on our show every Tuesday and Thursday. So we're going to take the names of all of our followers. Plus, if you go to the Midwest Muscle Facebook page, any video that's out there, we don't care which one it is, but if you go out there and you comment on the video, whatever comment you have, please keep it PC. We love your feedback, but let's keep it readable. And use hashtag O'Kellen, O-K-E-L-L-E-N. We will include all of those folks in the drawing as well. So you have from now through December 15th to get your homework done. So we're only going to be promoting this over the next couple of weeks. So if you want to get your name in the drawing, do get it in there. And remember the two ways, either like the P4P Real Talk Blog Talk Radio page. And again, just Google P4P Real Talk. It should bring up Blog Talk Radio and our page for you. Just click follow. And that's one way of entering, or go to the Midwest Muscle Facebook page, any video that's posted there, any video, and just make a comment with hashtag O'Kellen, O-K-E-L-L-E-N, and you are in the drawing. And we will be announcing the winners shortly on the show following December 15th. So there you got it, folks. There's the exciting
early
news.
Christmas,
so hopefully
yeah.
you... I know, early Christmas. So hopefully you guys all jump on that because I think it'll be just an amazing experience with the information that you're going to get from it.
Amen to that. And I want to add that this man is very, very knowledgeable and very intelligent about what he's doing. So he's well insightful. I mean, you're getting a good package. So I am jelly.
And just so you know, I mean, what he's offering usually retails for about, I would say, a little under $500.
Yeah,
so
I was about to
say, this is a pretty awesome gift that he's made available to P4B Real Talk listeners. So thank you, Mark South.
He celebrates
and,
too. Yeah.
So,
yeah, you got to go north and, to south, right? Or go south to go north?
Something like that, or right, or maybe you take a right turn at East, and I don't know, but anyway.
Let's turn it out with
Anyway, so O'Kellen, hashtag O'Kellen, why don't you set it up for our folks tonight, our amazing guests that you've already alluded to?
Oh, yes, and oh my. And I all day I've been thinking about this, and it's so true. Because we see the stars and we love them. We love the way they shine, and, you know, it's so much happening around them. And, hey, if we could only, you know, get up in the stars, we'd be so happy. But I was thinking about, because, you know, I'm from the Midwest, so I grew up near Chicago, and that was during the time of the Bulls. And Michael Jordan was the man. I mean, everybody wanted to be something like him. And he had a tragedy in his life, and it was his dad being basically murdered because of something that the other person wanted that his son had bought him, and he was basically put to death. And when I remember the reporter was asking him about things and how he felt, and he said, you know, everybody says they wish they were me. He said, but I wonder if anyone would wish for this day, for that time to be me. And I was just floored because, you know, here this man that, you know, everybody, you know, I don't know if you remember the commercials, I like to be like Mike, I want to be like Mike. And he said that, and, you know, all of a sudden everything just became so real. You know, basketball was nice, but this man still had a life outside of it. And I was just so blown away by that. And it was just, you know, it just kind of matured me in a way that I wasn't ready for, but it's something I needed to hear, obviously, because I still remember it. And now we're going to parallel that because we have a woman that's on going to be on our show, and I already gave her name, and you've already messaged about her. So, and she had some news that basically could have devastated her to the point where she would have withdrawn and hidden away. But some way and somehow she became so empowered to be better because of the tragedy. And it just blew me away that she could do it, and she sustained it for such a duration. I couldn't help but have the utmost respect. And I'm talking about Brittany Ramos, and we're going to bring her on. She's going to introduce herself to the listeners, to the Midwest Muscle fans. I know you guys know her, but to the P4P Real Talk listeners, she might be quite new to them. So, Brittany, please introduce yourself, and we'll start the show.
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Brittany Ramos. I currently live in Webster City, Iowa, small town in the middle of nowhere. And I have been competing since 2013, kind of off and on. I went for about 2 years straight and then took a little bit of an off season, got married, and then competed through 2017. So it's been 4 years of great stage time, and I'm so glad that I found this hobby, because ultimately it's pushed me, and it has absolutely grown me as both an athlete and, you know, a wife and a friend, and it's given me kind of a purpose in life, honestly. So yeah, it's been a great journey so far.
Awesome. Wow. So, go ahead, Kaylin.
No, I was just, you know, going to say that you can hear the happiness in her voice. So, you know, she's truly overcome what has happened. And I'm happy to hear that as a fan of the sport, but also as a friend. So it's good to know that when you know, you're not just doing the cliched responses of saying you're in a better place and you're feeling better and this, that, whatever. You actually are there. And I'm sure there's those dark days that you have, but it's so good to hear you in your voice, because, you know, the people that know you know what you sound like when you're being yourself. So it's a joy for me, and I'll pass it back to Ben.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, there's a question. We already have a listener question that I'm going to go ahead and address before we get too much into Brittany's story, because once we start heading that direction, I know it's going to open up a lot more questions pertaining to what she's going to share with us. And this one is directly related to you as a competitor. So I want to go ahead and get that out there. But folks have been watching the video we shared of you from IPE Worlds as part of the promotion for tonight's show, and that Drake wants to know your height and weight.
So I am 5'8". Yeah, no problem. I am 5'8", and I compete around 123 to 124 and a half, I'd say. Mostly around 123, though, is what I tend to come in at lately. So...
Wow, that's an amazing weight. I don't even know that I've ever really competed at my leanest at that low of a weight. I'm shorter than you are. I'm only 5'6" and a half. So, because I usually come in at about 129, but that just goes to show you just the difference in structures and how that works out. And even when I come in at around the 129 weight, I get so many comments from judges of don't lose any more weight, or, you know, the always fun, well, if she were any more ripped, she'd be a figure competitor. So, I mean, it's always
right.
Hard.
I know.
It's
and
always hard.
It's crazy because when I first started competing, I competed at like 100. I think my first show was like 133. And the leanest I got like that first year of competing was like 130. And then coming into last season, in 2014, I came in probably around the same, 123, 124. I even hit 122 once. And then this season,
wow.
Katie actually thought she was going to get me down to 119. And so that was kind of our goal. And then 2 months into prep, she's like, no, you're not getting down that low. So we... obviously put a little bit of muscle on, which is good, but so 123
right.
Seems to be my magic number so far. So,
well, there you go. I mean, and it looks great on you. Okay, two more questions here before we get back to the matter at hand.
Yeah, no, keep going.
Mark wants to know if you're the Brittany that did the KC show and if you've competed in Iowa.
Yes. Yeah, I did do the KC show this year, and I also did the KC show in 2013 as an amateur, and I was the
okay,
only one at Worlds from Iowa, actually.
Woo!
And the whole show can
represent.
Yeah,
you know, that is kind of crazy with the pros that I know, the bikini pros that I know are in the state, and you were the only one. But that's awesome. But you know what, we're probably going to see that tide turn a little bit over the next year or two as competitors come off seasons and, you know, just decide to jump back
absolutely.
In things and get qualified and go for it. So, but
sure.
And so Iowa to date has not had a pro show, but when Brittany was an amateur, she did compete locally. And usually swept all the shows at that point in time anyway, because I remember because we both started at the same time and we competed against each other. So, and you did Ryan Irwin's show once? Twice?
Yes.
Once?
Yes, that was my first show. Yeah, and I had no idea what I was doing. And I registered and I didn't even know, like, that there was different categories, like Iowa or amateur open. I had no clue. So I picked one and I registered and it happened to be open. And then I ended up taking my class. So I was like, okay, this is cool. I think I could roll with this.
Very good. Very good. So you've always been a strong competitor since the beginning. Another question here. Jill wants to know your macros that you hit during prep. She thinks she's too low at 100 protein, 50 carbs, and 20 fat. Wow, 50 carbs.
Wow, that is really low.
So,
that is pretty low. Usually, I guess, if you were going to go that low with carbs, you'd probably up your fat because you're doing more of like a keto to kind of make up those calories that you're losing for from the carbs. But, like, for me...
That's still
very
low.
Yeah, really low. And for me... Coming out of off season, my protein was actually pretty high. It was like around 175 is what we ended off season at for my protein.
For protein,
and then, into all the shows, I was around 135 to 140 grams of protein. My fat was pretty solid at 35 grams. And then my carbs, the lowest they ever got was after the Titan. I ate a little too much that weekend, and I had about 2 weeks until Worlds. So my carbs dropped down to 60 for about a week before peak again. Mm-hmm. So that's the lowest they've ever been. But up until Kansas City, we actually started reverse dieting into the KC show for about 2 to 3 weeks before actual prep, or peak week, excuse me, started. So those were... up until about 3 weeks out, they were around, I'd say, probably 90. So they did get lower than they've ever gotten, which was kind of expected because it'd been 3 years and I came off of a damaged metabolism. So, you know, it could always be worse. That's what I tell myself. So made it through.
Yeah,
amen,
no doubt. Kaylin, what did you have to add to this?
Other than saying get a new coach, I would say, you know, I think a lot of times that, you know, they don't give women the benefit of muscle. They're actually going with what I call women's numbers because they sound good. But I don't think it's even remotely close to being metabolically correct. This is Jill, that's really low. I mean, I'll be honest.
And depending on, like, where you're at, too, I mean, how far out you are and – you know, the cardio also plays a role. Like, if you're trying to lift heavy and doing a ton of cardio plus those macros, there's no way you're going to, I mean, you're going to be so burnt out. You're going to spend more time fixing your metabolism than you will, you know, actually in process and enjoying it. I mean, it gets hard, don't get me wrong. And, you know, you have to dip low sometimes, but you got to have a good ratio in there, too. You have to survive.
And especially this time of year,
if those are the
macros that you're still on and we're months away, I mean, from an actual
suffering.
Competition,
right,
I'm not even sure what you're prepping for. I guess I don't know what you currently weigh or what category you're competing in, but yeah, that does seem low. So I would start asking some questions and just looking into, you know, looking into getting a second opinion, I guess, is what I want to say. So,
right. And, I
start
mean,
asking
you,
questions
you should be
and
able
start
to
looking
question.
Around.
Yeah, definitely.
That's really low. I mean, if everybody on the panel is saying, hey, that doesn't sound good.
Might be a little bit of a red flag.
I really think you should look into that. Yeah, that something's not sounding right to any of us. And we're not new to this. So, yeah, there's something incredibly wrong. And I don't think it's you. I'll just say it like that.
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. So good questions, guys. We're glad you're asking. This is why we have this show. So thank you for listening and sharing with us. And to continue on with where we started here. So just following up on Kaylin's intro and sharing Michael Jordan's catastrophe, that's not the right word, but it's a word that popped up. You know, I've been having some issues with language
tragedy.
Lately. I don't even know what it is. It's tragedy. That is it. That is it. And Kaylin shared that for a reason, and as he had shared that, you know, Brittany in her own personal life had experienced a tragedy, and it's still a pretty recent one in the realm of how things go with losing someone and mourning, and but yet she still had some very specific things that she wanted to do in light of it all. So, Brittany, can you just share your story with us so our listeners understand what it is that we've been alluding to up to this point?
Absolutely. So I'll kind of just start from the beginning and how everything kind of transpired. So I can remember, like it was yesterday, I was sitting in the gym, just started prep. Katie had mentioned to me, you know, are you ready to start prep? It was the 1st of January, and we had talked about, you know, we want to start at the beginning of the year. And she had said, or do you want to, you know, keep building calories up for another, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, see where you are in the middle of January and kind of go from there. And I had told her, you know, I feel like I'm ready. Let's start the first. It's, you know, new year, brand new year, first day of the new year. So we got everything set and we started January 1st. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in the gym and my mom had texted me and she said, hey, so we are looking for your brother. Like, he hasn't been home since last night. And or yesterday morning, and we can't find him. We went to the police department, and now, mind you, my brother's 33. So this 2nd was his birthday, so he would have been 34, I do believe. I could be wrong. but anyway, she was texting me, and my first response was, oh, he's probably out doing something. Like, he'll be home. Don't worry about it. And I remember sitting there and I was so mad because I was in the zone and I didn't want to be disturbed and prep had just started and this had been an issue that had been going on for a long time and it was just something that I didn't want to deal with. So, you know, I just put it off as, oh, everything's going to be okay, you know, whatever, they'll take care of it. And she texted me later that day or that night, excuse me, and told me that, you know, they went and they put a missing persons report and that they were going to go out and search for him. They'd been to his friend's house. They'd gone, you know, to his apartment and he wasn't there. And there was just no sign of him, which was really odd, but not super out of the ordinary. He didn't really take his phone anywhere with him. He didn't really care about, you know, posting on social media or calling or texting unless he, you know, needed to. So the next day I go to work, and I get a call from my dad, and it came across my Apple Watch, so it alerted me that he had been calling me, and I didn't think anything of it. I was in the middle of my workday, and he texted me and said, call me ASAP, and my dad never does that. First of all, he never called me at work, and he never texted me at work. So I knew something was kind of going on, and so I went downstairs. I called him, and I said, hey, what's up? And he said, you need to come home. And I said, why? What's going on? And right then I knew. The 2nd that he told me that something was wrong, that I needed to call him, my stomach, it sank. And I knew something was wrong. And so I start walking up the stairs with my phone, talking to my dad. And he didn't want to tell me at first what was going on, but I kind of forced it out of him. And I just fell to the floor screaming in the middle of work. And, you know, my coworkers, they came running over and they were awesome. I mean, they knew, some of them knew what was kind of going on. I had talked to them about it before. And they had known that that was something that had been happening in my life. And so they kind of just knew. And one of them asked me, you know, is it your brother? And I said, yeah. And my boss actually called her husband and he followed me home, had one of my coworkers drive me and follow us home. And, you know, he had just told me right then on the phone, I didn't want to tell you this. I didn't want to tell you on the phone. I wanted to tell you in person. But at that point in my life, I knew that my brother was gone and that he had committed suicide. And something inside me just exploded. Like, I didn't think I was ever going to hear that. The biggest thing with my brother was you know, he's suffered from mental illness, not just being depressed and being sad or lonely, but he suffered from something a lot more serious. You know, for the past 10 years, he's suffered from having schizophrenia episodes. He's suffered from things like that that make him seem like he's such a different person, but something that he wasn't, he wasn't able to control.
Yeah.
And he'd been in and out of, you know, institutions as far as they would send him one place and then they would give him a counselor and he'd talk to this counselor and he would gain a relationship with that person. And then, you know, the funding for that person would come to an end. So they would ship him off to another place and he'd find comfort talking to somebody. And I think that's what makes me the most upset is that there is no solid ground for people who need help with those kind of problems. And I think that's what makes me the maddest. And I will never forget the day after we buried my brother, the hospital called that he had missed his appointment and they were wondering when we were going to reschedule. And they had just switched doctors for him. And that makes me just irate because he finally found someone to talk to for the 100th time that he felt comfortable with. And he obviously is an adult. He can make his own decisions. And he told this doctor that he felt like he didn't want to take this specific medication, the last one on the list that could possibly help control his thoughts, his moods, his everything, but it was making him gain weight. And like me, he's very active. He doesn't want to be lazy. He doesn't want to be lethargic. He was making him eat all the time. It was making him do all the things that he didn't want to do, and it was making him even more self-conscious about himself. And so they said, okay. You know, he said, I think I'll be okay. And they listened to him. And they took him off that medication, and 7 days later, he was gone. And it takes 14 days for that medication to actively kick back into his system.
Wow.
I think that's what makes me the maddest, is that the system is so, so screwed up that people like that have no way of helping themselves. They have no way of helping themselves, and they have no one to rely on.
Yeah. And even if they do, then it's like the rug's pulled out from under them. Because the one thing I've learned, because I've done a lot of research on this, you know, simply because of what has been transpiring in this nation. I mean, the elevation of suicides in this country is just astounding, especially when you look at the numbers per capita. So it's quite frightening. But one of the things that I've learned, it's almost like foster care when it comes to this, because they're passed around so much that the trust level is non-existent. And the one thing that happens when you lose the trust is you lose hope. And, you know, I think, especially with my Christian background, is that hope, faith, love, patience, and peace, they all tie into each other. They're all connected. And they have to be because they follow success. And if you want to derail success, take one of those things out of the spectrum and watch how success becomes further and further away and to achieve. So that was the one thing I noticed. The second thing is the fact that basically there's no connection toward humanity. It's more like a job when they come in because they see so many, because, you know, a lot of these doctors are overbooked and overworked.
Exactly.
And so they don't make that personal connection to basically give that person a reason to, you know, I mean, because, you know, if you think, like, in our possessions and our positions as physical personal trainers, we interact with the people because we learn to know them. We have to. And then we grow. And I can't imagine if every 2 months you were getting a new coach, a new nutritionist, a new basic workout partner and saying, well, somehow or another, this is going to be perfect and it's all going to work out and it's going to line up just like you're supposed to. And we need to, like Brittany was saying, we need to add that part back into the mix where we do give them back their humanity because they're losing it. I mean, a mental disorder is just that. It's something that's not lining up in their mind. And if you don't find a way to basically interconnect that mentality, then they do fail. And this is the worst case scenario, but it is always a possibility if it's not addressed.
Absolutely. And it's heartbreaking, you know, because you want to help everybody and you can't, and you know what they're feeling, but you can't help them because there's no resources
mm-hmm.
for you to do that. And if you think, like you said, the analogy between, you know, trainers every 2 months, and if you were constantly, you know, you get comfortable with somebody and then they abandon you and you're, okay, now
yeah.
you are back on the hunt for someone. And it's, I mean, in general, you know, my brother, he lived in Humboldt, and for the longest time he was going to the VA hospital in Fort Dodge, and then they closed it. So he drove from Humboldt to every single one of his appointments to Des Moines, which is about 2 hours. And when they put him on this last medication, every single week he had to go get his blood drawn to make sure that his white blood cell count was normal, because it was that medication kind of raised that and caused some concerns. So every time he would go, and he would be there on time, and he would drive himself 2 hours just to do that. And that's what's strange to me, because it just, something just flipped and there was just no going back. So, you know, it's something that we now have to live with, and it doesn't even still seem real. And I don't know when it will seem real. Like I had mentioned on Facebook the other day, you know, every time I go to his gravestone, it seems more real than when I sit at home and think, you know, because I wasn't with him every day. Whereas my parents, you know, he would live on and off with them. You know, there would be days he lived about a couple blocks from my parents' house. And my mom would tell me, you know, he would come sprinting down the street at 2 a.m. in the morning because he was so frightened. And he would get in her bed and just lay there and cry because he just felt like he had no control and he had nobody to talk to. Because, I mean, he can talk to us, but we're family, you know. There's just a difference between having somebody that's outside of the circle being able to talk to and trust. That makes it a little bit easier, I guess you could say.
You know, and even just listening to the story,
definitely.
I mean, it is a lot to take in.
It really is, and it's so much more than just, oh, you know, another person. Obviously, him being my brother, it's more close to home to me, but the system has problems, and it's very apparent.
Yes.
And there's just so many things I wish I could advocate about and with mental health, because I mean, so many people suffer from depression and anxiety and they don't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into things like being bipolar or schizophrenic or, you know, things that are far more not necessarily life-threatening. They're all grouped in that category, but things that need a lot more medication. You know, then they take that medication, then they feel good and they feel like everything's fine. And one of the biggest things that my brother would do to try and just calm his mind would just be to drink, because drinking, you were numb, you didn't have to think about
yeah.
it, you know, you were normal for that second, and then that brings on, okay, then he starts becoming an alcoholic because that's the only thing that makes him feel human. And that's when, you know, problems start, and then you start smoking tobacco. I mean, he would go through 2 packs a day because he couldn't stop shaking, and it just was spiraling out of control.
Yeah.
But in the same sense, his biggest fear was dying. He never wanted to die. He told my mom over and over. She asked him the night before this happened, do you feel suicidal? No, I would never. I've never, you know, that's my biggest fear. I don't ever think that I could do something like that. I do not want to die, because he was always afraid someone was going to kill him. That was his fear. That was his vice. And then the next day, morning came, got up off the couch before anyone was awake, and it was done. So, you know, it's very overwhelming, the events that conspired, but in the same sense, I don't know if it wouldn't have happened then, if it would have happened later or at a different time. I think ultimately it's kind of what was destined to be, I guess you could say. I knew in my heart that something like this would probably happen. I just didn't know when or how or what would conspire from the whole situation.
Yeah. There's something that a lot of people don't understand with the conscious and the subconscious is that, you know, there's plenty of people that can understand what's all going on with that. You know, when you're awake, you know you're awake, and when you're asleep, your subconscious basically gains control.
Absolutely.
But for people that are struggling with a mental disorder, it's almost like those bridges interlink during the conscious and subconscious time. So basically, you have the subconscious leaking into your conscience, and you know you hear voices, but it's not like we would understand hearing a voice or an understanding.
Absolutely.
That doesn't really make sense. So there's so many things that we don't speak about, and because we don't mm-hmm. speak about, we don't have the knowledge of it. And, you know, a lot of times you hear people speak out of ignorance because they're saying, with my fully logical cognitive mind, this doesn't make sense, and I would have done it this way. But I'm saying if you're stuck on an island, if you're living in a city and you've got all these places you can just walk right down the street and go, you know, you can go buy food, you can go to the grocery store, you can do this, that, whatever. And I said, but you have this beautiful island like Hawaii, but you got to basically transport so much to it. It's a lot more difficult to do those things instead of saying, you know, because I'm comfortable where I am, it makes sense that you should understand that you're doing it incorrectly. But I'm saying if you don't understand you're doing it incorrectly, you don't know. And if it never makes sense, you have no platform or foundation to start. So I'll just, you know, put that out there for the listeners because I know we're getting some questions about this. But Des and I would rather much hear from Brittany and tackle this from another angle on a different show. Des?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we'll work to bring someone on the show who can speak more to several of the disorders that have been mentioned here tonight, but we won't be able to get through all of those. So we're going to work on that, guys. Stay with us, and we'll definitely address it in another show. So, Brittany, we've had some more questions that have been rolling in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sarah wants to know, how has your family been dealing with all of this thus far?
My family, we all kind of deal with it in our own fashion. I find personally it helps to, at this point, share more about it. That's why I was so social media savvy during my prep because, you know, it was never about, oh, I want someone to tell me, oh, you look good, or, you know, you're doing a good job, you've made it this far. It was more so about that if I'm showing that I could get through this, that hopefully somebody else can get through it too. Now my mom and dad, obviously being their child and living with him, you know, pretty much his whole life. I mean, he moved out maybe twice in 34 years. And so, you know, my mom has been his sole caretaker for lifetime. So she is up and down. It's same with my dad. I don't think I've ever seen my dad cry as much as I have in the last year, to be honest, you know, any mention of my brother. And the thing that haunts him the most is that he didn't take a lot of time to get to know him once the disease came out. And so I think he feels a lot of guilt, which obviously he should not, but it's just, I think deep down, you know, they're going to make it and they're going to be okay, but they both still struggle a lot with it, a lot more than they show, I think. And having, you know, for me, this prep to have my mind preoccupied, I know that it preoccupied my parents' mind as well because they were busy, mm-hmm. you know, following me around, going to shows, you know, asking me how things were going and that type of thing. So they had something to look forward to, whereas, you know, they weren't just sitting around being, you know, sad and unhappy.
Welling.
So
yeah.
And I've been trying to kind of, you know, be more apprehensive with them. You know, I talk to my mom every day. I always have. I've been being more talkative with my dad, you know, spending more time with them and including them in more things that my husband and I do, especially because my other brother, he's in Florida. Him and my sister-in-law are in Florida, so they live there. So it's kind of, you know, I've kind of been being more, I guess, inviting them more to things that my husband and I do, or staying the night with them, or, you know, seeing how they are, checking on them. And so I guess I would say, you know, they're dealing with it them in their own way, kind of like how I have been and how my other brother has been, but it's definitely still very, very real. And I think, you know, with the holidays, Thanksgiving, it was okay because my other brother was home and, you know, we were all together. And as Christmas is coming, it's been very, very heartbreaking. You know, a lot of anxiety has been coming up, starting a fresh year, you know, that happening the beginning of 2017, it kind of brings a lot of feelings out. I'd be lying if I said that I haven't been more emotional since competing has been done. I feel like it's given my mind a break, and now I have nothing else to think about. So it's been, I would say since competing, it's been very emotional, even though it's only been about 2 weeks. So
let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, obviously you were hit with this tragedy. You had just started prep, and as you've shared, it has been a coping mechanism for you. But at that moment when you decided to still carry on, you know, I have to think that coping was not the motivating factor that kept you going.
No, actually, the thing that kept me going is way back when I first started competing, I remember like it was yesterday too. I called my brother. I told him, hey, I have this idea. I want to compete in a bodybuilding show. And I mean, I was a college student. I was dirt broke. I literally could not barely afford rent. And I said, well, training's like $300 a month. How am I going to afford this? And he said, you know what, if you're serious about this, I'll go half with you. So for almost a year, he paid every single month half of my training, over half of my training. I mean, he knew that it was something that I wanted and that I would continue to do it, even if, you know, things happened and I did it. And he felt like he had helped in some way. And that's something that he was very good at. If he helped somebody, then he felt like he was doing what he was here to do. He was a very, very, he gave a lot to a lot of people, and he would give you the shirt off of his back, but he would also expect you, you know, to respect him. And he it's not that he would want things in return, but, you know, he would want you to succeed in what you were doing, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally.
So,
totally,
yeah,
totally.
Ultimately, I told him before, you know, this whole thing happened, I think he said, when are you going to compete again? Like, my dad asked me, like, every single month until I finally said I was going to start prep. And he was so excited, and he's like, okay, when are you starting? And, you know, I told him January 1st, and I'm going to start competing again and all this stuff. And so he knew that I was going to start, and he knew that I was excited about it, and I made a commitment. I was going to start. I had reverse dieted and got my metabolism good for a year, and I was ready, and I wasn't going to let anything stop me. And I knew that if I would have given in and not competed, then I would have regretted it, and it's not what he would have wanted for me. So I can honestly tell you, every time that I felt like I was going to drop that weight on my back doing squats, or every time I felt like I couldn't push that plate, I would tell myself out loud, okay, Matt, get me through this, push me through this, because I can't do this. And that weight came up like no tomorrow. And I held on to that every single workout and every single cardio session. And every time I wanted to get in my freezer and eat a whole pint of ice cream, I said out loud, get me through this, because this is getting rough. And I will never, ever, ever not believe that he's not the one that got me to the world stage, because that was my goal. And there was a lot of hardships along the way, but we did it. And I give all that grace to him, because without that motivation and that push, I probably wouldn't have gotten there.
Wow. I mean, it is beautiful might not be the right word, but that really just is a beautiful story. And to have that picture and that push and, you know, and you did it. And you did it for him and yourself and your family, all of the above. You were all in it together, going through it together.
Absolutely.
And your family has always been there at your shows. And I do remember that about seeing your mom, you know, and everybody was there. And it was still the same here, and they're always so proud, so beaming, you know, and as they should be. And so it just is great to see you guys. It was great to see all of you together at the IPE World. So, you know, it was a big accomplishment for you, for all of you.
Yes. Oh, yeah, for all of us. And, you know, there's no doubt I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my family and, you know, my husband, and I don't think I could ever have picked a better person to spend my life with, little side note, because literally picking me up off the ground for months after losing my brother, my husband isn't a super emotional person. So, you know, seeing him being hurt like he was and still being able to pick me up off the floor, tears everywhere, you know, just completely broken, makes me realize that I definitely picked the right person. So, I mean, yeah, absolutely. And something I never really knew is when I went to do my yearly physical the other day with my doctor, she told me, you know, one of the biggest things your mom was worried about after your brother passed is that she didn't think that you were going to go through with competing, and she knew how important it was to you, but she didn't think that you were going to do it just because of everything that had happened, and she didn't think that you would want to keep pushing and your mind would be other places. And so that made me feel very, very happy, because when she thought that I wasn't going to, I did it anyway, and I think that that made her feel very happy as well.
There you go. Yeah.
So, mission accomplished.
Amen.
And in a big way.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So, Kaylin, we've got several listener questions piling up here, but I wanted to give you a chance to weigh in before we start getting all these questions on deck.
Well, you know, the thing is, It takes a tight bond, and, you know, I'm just so happy to hear that the family bond is strong. And, you know, we've all had times of tragedy, and either you go apart or you grow together. And I'm thankful that you guys are growing together and you found a way to do that. And that's vital. I mean, it's very vital. And I think the lines of communication didn't shut down, but they opened up. So I'm really happy to hear that, and I thank God for it. I'll pass it back to Dave.
Me too, every day.
And with that, let's jump into these questions. Dana is wondering if there is anyone else at risk in your family or inner circle.
At risk?
Maybe, yeah, at risk of,
okay,
I think maybe falling into depression or dealing with these same issues that your brother may have had.
I can't remember. I was doing a bunch of research when all this happened, and obviously it puts the direct siblings at a higher risk for their offspring to come and, you know, have schizophrenia or those type of things. And I had actually talked to my therapist in depth about this, because yes, that is something that I worry about. And yes, you know, we are wanting to start a family, and my husband and I have had this conversation several times of worry, and, you know, and she kind of put it like this, you know, if you jumped into having a family knowing that you were going to have a child that grew up to have cancer or grew up to have depression or grew up with Down syndrome or grew up with something, you know, you had a child and you knew once that child was born, this child was going to have this disease or this issue, would you have a child? Would anybody have a child? And that really kind of brought into perspective, you cannot gauge what's going to happen to your child. You have no idea. You know,
yeah.
There is nothing set in stone that says this child is going to have schizophrenic episodes when he's 25 years old. If that was the case, like I said, nobody would have children. And that kind of eased my mind a little bit because, yes, it is something that we have talked about. And that was one of the first things that my husband and I said, you know, yes, there is a chance, but there's also a chance that our child could have something else. You know, you never know. So it's something that was kind of put out of our minds. And if something happens in the future, so be it. Then, you know, you deal with it at that time. But yes, so yes, there is a risk.
All right. Thank you. Bill says it sounds like the system failed your brother because he was doing what he could do better. Am I wrong? And just for one second, and I'll turn it over to you, Brittany, but Bill, I would say yes. I have not been happy for quite some time on how legislators are handling mental health and the services that individuals need. They've been shutting down facilities left and right, at least in Iowa. I'm sure it's happening in other places too. And, you know, insurance, it's almost impossible in some instances to get coverage for the help that individuals need if they need to speak to a therapist or counselor or even afford their medications. The support system
right.
is not there. And so what happens to several of these individuals if they don't end up committing bodily harm to themselves? They end up in jail because there's nowhere
mm-hmm.
else for them. And they end
right.
up in some kind of act or behavior that gets them arrested, and then they end up in jail because they can't get the resources that they need. They're not there.
Absolutely.
The help is not
yep.
there for them.
You know, my brother tried for years to get insurance. For years he would beg people to give him insurance, and they wouldn't. They would just simply not. There was nobody out there that would even consider him, no matter how much he would pay, no matter how many tests he had to do. Nobody would give him the time of day to give him insurance the second
wow.
he mentioned ever being in a mental health institution. The only way that he was able to afford any and all of his medications or his health care or his therapist or any of the things that he went through was because of the VA, because he was in the Army, because he was discharged. They are the only reason that he was able to have the things that he had.
That's terrible.
Crazy. It's upsetting to me.
Yep.
It's
and
yeah.
so when he passed, there was no life insurance. There was a life insurance policy that my parents took out when we were babies that had grown to a small amount. It just makes me so irate because he tried for so long to get help and to get things figured out in his life, and nobody would open that door for him.
Now, they sound more like they were closing doors before they could even
oh, yeah.
try to.
Left and right. Left and right.
Yeah.
Almost laughing in his face that he thought that he could get health insurance, that he could get insurance, that he could get life insurance. I mean,
wow.
There was no solitude for anything to do with somebody that had a mental illness.
So, folks, all I can say is for the congressional primaries that are coming up in June of 2018, get to know what your constituents stand for. And if this is an area that is important to you, find the ones that do support improvements in mental health services and vote. And vote your conscience. I mean, if they're at least, you know, acceptable in other areas and they'll support this, you know, vote. Vote in that direction. That's one thing that can be done if this is an area that is important to you or near or dear to your heart. Okay, next
question. It should
question.
Be now.
You know, or write letters. I mean, there's lots of things that you can do, but we're actually running short on time. Imagine that. So I'm going to keep moving
yeah.
on. But I know it always goes so fast.
Yes,
Sean, and Sean and Cheryl, so this is a dual question here, but you know, they're sympathizing how stressful that all of this must have been, or that this is, and how stressful has it been on your marriage. They're saying their sister-in-law lost her husband to suicide, and it is hurting their marriage through stress, anger issues, so on and so forth. How has your marriage been holding up through all of this?
Honestly, through losing my brother, it made us appreciate each other more, I think. You know, I myself have always suffered from anxiety and some depression and things like that. Anxiety, very much so. And I think that it's not necessarily, I mean, I think that it helped to bring us together. We've always been pretty close. But I feel like I can talk a lot more about things like that. I mean, you know, just this week, for instance, I told him at the beginning of the week, you know, I'm having some serious panic attacks with Christmas coming and my brother being gone. And, you know, it's just going to be us four instead of us five. And, you know, he's my calm in this. He's always been the calm one. He's always been the one to bring me back down to real life. You know, and he just continues to tell me this is normal. The feelings that you're feeling are normal, but you have to remember that he is in a better place. And that's something that is going to continue to be hard to understand. And, you know, he goes to his gravesite with me. He talks to him with me. He still picks me up off the floor if I'm having, you know, a panic attack from the situation. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better partner, to be completely honest with you.
Amen to that. And, you know, the one thing that I want everybody to understand is, you know, we get so used to the shows and the movies where, you know, in a 3-hour span or a 2-hour or 30-minute segment, somehow, some way, everything's figured out and it's all wrapped up in a nice bow. But life doesn't work that way. You know, there's another problem, a stressful situation that's coming right around the corner, and it's going to smack you in the head just like this one did. But at least through this, you've become a stronger individual. And, you know, I'm thankful, and I'm very grateful to God that the person I met has grown so much into the woman you are today. And, I've told you that many times, and that, you know, the respect level is through the roof. And just how well you maintained yourself, because you could have gone negative. You could have done some very destructive things. You could have done so much in the wrong way. But the people that were following your story, you didn't even know were following your story, but because of the way you held yourself, it made such a difference. Because, you know, they've been following you since our Midwest Muscle video days way back when. And now that they've seen the woman that's standing on stage and doing what she's doing, I mean, and the wow factor that you've been getting just from the Liquid Spectrum video that they did for you. So, you know, congrats on that, but more so,
yes,
congrats on the future and how you're doing, because I think that's what's important to both theirs and I, is that you've been a woman and a mature woman through this whole thing.
And it makes everything worth it to know that somebody, like I said, is getting hope through this, because in all honesty, finding something to occupy your mind when it's going dark is a huge key in getting out and swimming to the top. Because if you sit and dwell and lock yourself in a room or stay home from work or day in when you could be at the gym or you could be out doing something for somebody else or doing a hobby, you will never, ever, ever come out alive, honestly. I mean, there's so many things in life that people take for granted, and going through this has really, really opened my eyes to a lot of things. I mean, if anything good comes out of, you know, losing my brother, it's going to be that it's opened me up and it's made me a lot more talkative about the issues with mental health and the issues with depression and the lack of support of people and, you know, bullies, people picking on other people because they're different. when in reality, you know, they could be going through something very, very similar. They just don't know how to act. They don't know what to do in public. They seem different because, you know, they're secretly inside, you know, they're hearing voices. I mean, there are so many things that people just nitpick on, you know, that it's made me stand up for a lot, I guess I could say, since this whole thing's happened. It's given me kind of a voice for it. And like I said, I hope to be, you know, there for anybody that needs somebody, because I know what it's like to not have anybody and to be down in the dumps and, you know, before meeting my husband and feeling like you're alone. And everybody goes through that. It's just, if you're able to find somebody and reach out and talk to them, then that's all I want to be for somebody.
Well, and you know what? That is more than enough. And we are going to have you back, because we still have questions rolling in, and unfortunately we are out of time. So sounds like we're going to have a couple of follow-up shows on this. We're going to bring in, going to bring Brittany back, and then also look to maybe getting a therapist or counselor or, you know, another professional back on track to have more of these discussions with you folks, our listeners. So with that, Brittany, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
To hear your perspective and for sharing with us. And we'll work on another date to get you back. And
of course, guys,
thanks for all of your great questions. We're sorry we couldn't get to all of them tonight, but we're going to work on this. You know how we do. So we'll be collecting them, still send them. We'll keep track of them, and then we'll be sure we get them asked. So we will get that done. So with that, on behalf of Brittany, Kaylin, myself, the boys at P4P Muscle, I mean, this is what temple building is all about. So if your body is a temple, let's build it.